Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the Northwest region of Arkansas. God bless you and welcome to this fifth day of January 2018. I almost said 17, but it is the fifth day of January 2018. There's a lot to talk about today, and I want to begin with prayer. I think that is the most essential thing right now. There are several prayer requests that we need to pay attention to. And number one, we're going to be praying for a husband and his wife who are suffering from cancer and from a brain aneurysm. And this is not something to be toyed around with, obviously. So we want to definitely spend time praying for our friends. This is Nicole Ellefson, her aunt and uncle are the ones that brought that report this morning. And so there are also 22 missionaries in Afghanistan that are being sentenced to death, and the cry has gone out for prayer for them as well, and their death date is for today. And so we definitely want to involve ourselves with that issue here. So I'm looking for a few other reports where this actually is originating from. So let's begin with that report. And here is the actual news that we need to be concerned about. So and I'm believing for a supernatural season like everybody else. And I believe that if God could deliver his servant Peter out of prison supernaturally, he could do something great here as well. So here is the report. 22 Christian missionaries who have been sentenced to death tomorrow afternoon, which is today, by the Islamic in Afghanistan. And can you please pass this news quickly? And that's what we're doing. So we need to pray for these 22. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, whoever is joining me in prayer in agreement right now for these 22 missionaries who have laid their lives down, who are out in your field as harvesters, Lord, we ask that their work would not be burnt up, but for every soul that they have brought into the kingdom, Father God, that it will be for their rewards in heaven and for your glory. But Father, we would ask for a supernatural divine deliverance for their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. For your laborers are few, Father, and those that are laboring, Lord, give them opportunity, deliver them from this death sentence, we pray, and invade, Lord God, and interrupt and interfere with that death sentence in Jesus' name in Afghanistan, Lord. Right now, may your Holy Spirit, may your mighty angels open prison doors like they did for Peter, Father God, when he was supposed to be put to death as well. So we're asking for a supernatural, abundant miracle in Jesus' name for those missionaries. Praise God. Praise God. So that's what we're going to ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. That's our prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. And then on this other note here, we want to be praying for, as I said, Nicole, a young lady in our church, Nicole, and her husband, Dave. Her aunt and uncle need some fervent prayer. Their names are Wayne and Eva Cooper, and he is diagnosed with cancer, and she may have another brain aneurysm. So there are people on their way to be praying for them. So let's lift up right now Wayne and Eva Cooper. And Father, you're a supernatural God. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. You cast out devils. Cancer and brain aneurysm sounds very powerful, but they are not more powerful than the resurrected name of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, we pray for Wayne and Eva Cooper. We ask for their miraculous healing, that this mess that they are in will be turned into a message, a testimony. This test that they are undergoing, Lord, will become a testimony in Jesus' name, that they will be delivered. And Father, we lift up these names, Wayne and Eva, before your throne, thanking you that you've given us the authority to pray and to release the blessing of healing in people's lives. I do the same for every person tuned into this radio broadcast this morning that is suffering in their physical bodies, from tinnitus to diabetes to all other issues, bone issues, back issues, whatever it is. Father, wherever someone is listening with an ailment right now, we speak the word of God and say, by his stripes you are healed. And we loose the covenantal blood of Jesus upon the message and word of healing. And we say right now, wherever you are, whatever ailments you are going through, in Jesus' name, receive your healing. And we bind and rebuke and break the power of sickness and disease, that spirit of infirmity. We release you from it right now in Jesus' name. Father, we give you praise for your mighty miracles. We give you praise, Father, for all the things that you're doing right now in this earth, in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you praise, Lord, for healing, for total, total healing and restoration. Total healing and restoration in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The last several weeks, we have been, and I'm saying at least, my goodness, several, 6, 8 weeks, maybe more. I've been reading to you different prophetic words that I had written many years ago. Well, last night, my dear friend Nova Pack out in California, one of the men that actually was part of the ordination of my life, I was actually ordained into pastoral ministry 3 times. And the 3rd time was with the Roses of Sharon with Pastor Donna Bartram, and Nova is the apostle over that ministry and within that ministry. And he was very intrinsic in the ordination, my 3rd ordination. And he sends out these messages. He is also a lawyer in his business and his tent building business in the world. He's a lawyer, and he writes as a lawyer. But he has a friend, and we're just going to call him Johnny right now. That's the way they want to do it. And at the end of this, we'll give the other information. But he has a Happy New Year, family and friends. We hope you could take some time this week to read Johnny's prophetic word for 2018. Now, in all sincerity, I've only read part of it, but the part I read was very interesting. And so here we go. This is a prophetic word from my friend Nova Pack, from a gentleman by the name of Johnny. And he said, 2018, a time of war and victories. Trump, Wall Street, California, Israel, Jerusalem, cryptocurrencies, North Korea, Iran, etc. So these are the things that he's going to be talking about. He went on to say, 2017 has been a year that has exceeded every projection of disruption. A year ago, I wrote a word entitled Trump Quake that described the upheaval that Trump's presidency would usher in, ensuing tsunami waves of change. If anything, that word understated what actually has become reality. So he writes, 2017 in review, the first full year of Donald Trump as president shook seemingly everything that can be shaken. A most sensational war has been engaged with the dominant media all year, with no truce coming from either side. Fake news and alternative facts are now household concepts and realities, and an overall vicious political atmosphere was in effect for the entire year. We have also had very extreme weather patterns as creation seemingly caught itself up in the turmoil of everything. Many severe weather stories became relegated as compared to the big three storms, Harvey, Irma, and Maria, that each in its own way was a historical hurricane, which I have previously covered. Interestingly enough, in Zechariah 9:14, it says, "Then the Lord will appear over them. His arrow will flash like lightning. The sovereign Lord will sound the trump, and he will march in the storms of the south." Ah, that is very interesting. So the Hebrew word for the word lightning is barak. It is no coincidence that this verse speaks of a time where the Lord intervenes with barak, and then that he would sound the trump. That is interesting. And march in the storms and hurricanes of the south. So God is neither Trump nor the hurricanes, but he is sounding the trump. And he has marched in on the hurricanes of the south. Put together the first letter of each storm, and you have him. In the seeming mayhem of it all, he is there. So that's Hurricane Irma and Maria, right? So very interesting. He went on to say, in 2017, we also experienced an almost unprecedented total solar eclipse that carried its own message. Then we had a constellation assignment so unique that, again, the doom and gloomers came out of the woodwork with another false prophetic narrative. All these events and phenomena were significant in telling of a special day, but it was all about kingdom of God advancement and not kingdom of God darkness advancement. So here I take issue to this one part and make it clear. To proclaim a sign to be exactly that, a sign of something that's coming, is a right thing to do scripturally. Jesus gave us signs, and he gave us seasons, omens, warnings, signals, and those celestial signs in the year 2017 were definitely signposts telling us what is ahead. And it's not all fuzzy. Believe me, it's not all fuzzy. Balance is the key to everything, but let's move on. He said, somehow, each of these once-in-a-lifetime events seemingly paled in comparison with the Harvey Weinstein effect that has seen literally hundreds of the gatekeepers at the tops of all seven mountains: media, economy, government, education, family, arts, entertainment, and religion. So they call these are the seven mountains. Forced from their stronghold position, suddenly and before our very eyes, tsunami waves with a new cultural appetite for justice are vacating the high places and making room for the new. So a line has been drawn in the sand. God's daughters will be better protected as they rise and shine. The accompanying storyline of the hit movie Wonder Woman is all interwoven into the new narrative of the day, a movie where not only were women positively highlighted, but the central star was an Israeli actress named Gal Gadot. No coincidence there either. So this is Johnny's review of 2017. Now he gets into 2018, and he says, war and victories. I would like to tell you that 2018 will be very different than 2017 and that everything will calm down. However, to do so would be to mislead you. Ecclesiastes 3:8 says that there is a time for war and a time for peace. Unfortunately, or perhaps fortunately, this is not the time for peace, but for war. However, there is great news in this forecast because the purpose of this time of war is to regain that which was lost and to take promised land, ground that was never entered into. So the enemy is always at war with us. This is a time for it to cease to be one-sided. God is surely anointing us for war, meaning he has great victories designed for us. The time for war has both a collective and individual application and is both scenarios and righteous. Must be bold as lions. All right, so war is inevitable. So says the gentleman, Johnny. Johnny the gentleman. This is a very long prophetic word, and I'm just asking myself, do I want to continue on with it? Do I want to hear more of this? How about you? Do you want to hear more of this prophecy? It's interesting when somebody that is operating in, you know, nothing but the ideas of, well, praise God. Should I just leave that alone? Maybe I'll leave that alone. Maybe I should just leave that alone. Or let's go for it. What do you think? Thank you, Father. Let's see. He said, I was shown that this significant season for the United States has many parallels with the season of the children. And here's why I'm going to stop, okay? This is why I'm going to stop just for a moment. You know, everybody's getting it on both sides of the aisle that this is a time of war. And the thing you have to begin to break down is, you know, is God anointing America to be successful and victorious in a battle with North Korea, Russia, China, Iran, whoever? Or is this war going to bring the great shaking to the things within our nation that have been built up as altars of idolatry? And again, when you consider and this is where we as Christian men and women have to really think. You know, the idea that somebody's going to come out and begin to presume that God is with us as Americans and God is against the rest of those pagan societies when we have been more pagan than they have in the allowance of the innocent blood being shed, the promotion of all these evil things in society. So I honestly have a very difficult time with that kind of thinking, but I appreciate and value the understanding that the gentleman has that it is time for war. The question is this war for the well-being of the United States because the United States is more righteous than everybody else? I don't believe that. I don't believe we can say that. I don't believe that one bit. So I would say that, yes, war is coming, and every person in the United States should be prepared for what that means. We have never seen an actual war except for the Revolutionary War and the Civil War in our own in our own lives, but that was between ourselves. I mean, the Revolutionary War was a fight for the nation, but when we became a nation, the Civil War was just a war within. And while we are living at a time of Civil War mentality again with the division of our nation, this is due to our collective sin as a nation. This is due to a silent church in the face of a very active evil that made its advancements through the last 50-some-odd years. And I don't believe that can be denied. And so to sit here today in 2018 and have New Year in, you know, ideas of we're going to war and it's all about good for the USA. No, I believe that there are two wars being fought, and I believe one is being fought in the heavenly realms between Michael and his angels and the devil and his angels. That's in the book of Revelation chapter 12, and that's the sign that was in the sky on September 23rd. So I believe that sign that we saw was pointing to that angelic war, and eventually that devil and his angels is coming down to planet Earth. I also believe when there's war in the heavenlies, there's going to be a manifestation of war on Earth. So I do believe we're going to war. And the Bible says that during this time of war that over 2 billion people will be killed in this war. I mean, that's the Bible. So for people to kind of play with these things and making it American-centric is, again, a very dangerous thing. 2018 is going to be the year of the prophets of Jezebel and the prophets of Baal and the true prophets of God. We said that a couple of weeks ago. It's the prophet Hananiah and the prophet Jeremiah. And one is a false prophet and one is a true prophet. And it seems that the false prophets are always blessing and saying positive, peaceful things to an environment that is anything but good before the eyes of God. Our nation is not good. Our nation has become extremely wicked. Does that mean there are not good people in our nation? Of course not. There are many good people within our nation. And God would say to the good people within our nation, whose goodness comes from the Lord, it's not their own. God would say to the good people of this nation who have received the goodness of God, get yourself ready. Prepare your ark. War is coming. Understand the times. Spiritual warfare, actual warfare, bloodshed on the land. Get ready for that. Now, that's not a happy 2018 positive, you know, yahoo. But if you're born again and the Spirit of God is in you and he's been forewarning you and preparing you for years for the days that we're now coming into, it's an understanding. It's not happy, sad, good, bad. It's none of that. It is knowledge imparted, revelation, understanding, wisdom of what time it is. And that's what we need. Revelation light to enlighten us to what is going on in the world that we live. It is very volatile. Right now in our country, a cyclone bomb. Can you imagine they're calling this storm a cyclone bomb? I mean, that's everywhere in the news media. Cyclone bomb. I thought surely they must be making a mistake, but no. There are 20 people dead already from this snowstorm, this winter storm, and it's just crazy. It's affecting everything. 95% of the airports, I believe in New York, were shut down because of this storm. So we go from the raging fires on the west coast of California after the six hurricanes, and now we come to the winter storms that are killing people and doing damage. And, you know, it's the non-ending. And then they just reported two earthquakes in California, one at 3.9, another at 4.4. But people woke up in the San Francisco Bay Area this morning saying, my God, this was like a freight train coming through my house. It was not a gentle little thing that everybody smiled about. It was a very powerful 4.4 quake. And so the geologists are saying that great shaking on the West Coast is at the door. It's way overdue. And we have a prophetic word inside of us. We know that the West Coast is ripe for judgment. We know it's going to shake. We know it's going to bake. And it's already been baking. Now comes the shaking. In the year 2018, there will be a year of shaking. And you and I can't feel a move in our emotions. Well, I'm feeling good. Things are working right. And therefore, you know, it's all go. Well, no. You're living an abundant life. You're doing what God has put in your heart to do. God is blessing your life because you belong to Him. But don't be ignorant of the times that we're in. Redeem the time, for the days are evil. Remember that. We should be walking cautiously, carefully, regardless of how good God is to us. We have 22 missionaries right now over in Afghanistan that are supposed to be executed, that we're praying for, that will not be executed. So life is not hunky-dory for them. It's 2018. What a beautiful day. It's not 2018, you know, all is well. 2018, we have missionaries ready to be killed, and we have problems going on. So let's not fall into the delusion of this is all, you know, American-centric prophecy. America is under judgment. America is under the judgmental hand of Almighty God because of His divine justice and His ultimate righteousness. And God is not going to bless a nation that has offended Him and has spread its corruption to the ends of the earth. I'm sorry. It just can't be that way. You know, if you want to get blessed and you want to have all the things that this world could give you, fine. Go for it. You want to believe that way? Go for it. But what you believe does not change the truth. What I believe does not change the truth. And the only truth that I know is what's in this book called the Bible. And I know when a nation sins against God, God has already told us in His book what He does. And we're watching our nation under judgment, and yet you got the naysayers and the false prophets saying, in 2 years, it's all going to be restored, or everything's all right, nothing wrong is going to happen. Meanwhile, nothing but wrong is happening, except perhaps in the life of those who love God and God has blessed for a purpose to bring them to a place of assignment and calling and equipping. Yes, God is good. You have food in your stomach. You have clothes on your back. We have a roof over our head. We have vehicles to get to point A to point B. You know, we're having a good day. Life is good. We actually are part of the richest people on the face of the earth if we have those few little things. Can you believe that? The top 8% of the wealthiest people in the world are people that have a house, a car, a job, clothes, food, and a few bucks they throw out on their nightstand every night in a little excess in their pocket. We're counted as the 8% of the richest people on the planet. However, there's a lot of talk about other things that need to be talked about. You know, is there going to be a transfer of wealth? Yes, I believe there will be a transfer of wealth. Why is God going to transfer wealth? Because He's got kingdom business that He needs to get done. He needs to send His missionaries around the world. He needs to prepare the arks further. He needs to get His job done. You don't just go from here to China, you know, walking. You don't do that. You get on an airplane. That costs money. You get on radio, television. You proclaim the gospel. That takes money. Everything takes money. And so God will transfer wealth to His people to advance His cause, but God's not interested in money. It's the way things get done here. The Apostle Paul, going back 2,000 years, was traveling around the world as a missionary. He appreciated when the church supported his needs. I mean, it's just a simple thing. It's not about our greed, our covetousness, our selfish desires, having all the toys because of our midlife crises. And somebody gave me a book the other day, said I was in, you know, and said, you know, you need to read this book on midlife crises. I honestly don't think I'm in a midlife crisis. Now I may be. My wife will tell me that later on after the show, but I don't know. I don't think I am. I don't want to buy a red Corvette, although I have a grandson that did, but it was black. But I don't, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not looking to have another baby or anything like that. What I want to do is get this job done. I want to encourage the saints of God out there to get on assignment, to be focused, even in the midst of beautiful days where God is blessing you. Maybe you're out there today and the world is beautiful. You've got nothing but great plans. Well, move out in those plans. Appreciate and value God. Live one day at a time, but don't presume that God is an American and he's just going to do nothing but bless Americans. You know, and when those kind of prophecies come forth, they drive me nuts, honestly. And then they do those insulting things like gloomers and doomers because we talk this way. No, I just don't go there. I just can't go there. I won't go there. How about you? How y'all doing today? It is the fifth day of January. The lines are open, 818-369-0326. I was preparing to be involved in that prophetic word for a lot of time, but I just feel like time is short. I'd rather talk to the people that are out there listening today and give opportunity for us to have a conversation about whatever it is that may be going on in your life and how God's directing you today. What do you think about what you just heard? In all sincerity, I mean, how do you feel about these things? I'm going to take this call coming in from area code 479-426. Good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. I just called to say happy birthday, and it's a good message what you're doing today, but we just want to say happy birthday.
Happy birthday!
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
This is Sean, and this is me. And we just want to let you know that you are awesome, Pastor, and we are privileged to be under your church. And we just love you and your lovely wife, but we want to wish you a very happy birthday today.
Wow. Thank you so much, Carmen.
And we have Jeremiah 3:15, pastors, and the proof is in the fruit of the tree, and you both got it.
Happy birthday. Happy birthday. You're special to us.
Thank you. That's Carmen and Sean, her son,
and Carla.
For those of you that are out there and your prayer warriors, remember to pray for Sean. Sean was, what was it, Carmen, 4 years ago that Sean was in China now? So about 4 years ago, Sean was 21 years old at the time. He was traveling all over the world. He had been to Iraq. He'd been to Iran. He was on radio. He was in China. He loved China. And 4 years ago, Sean was walking across the street in China and was hit by a very fast-paced moving van. And Sean was paralyzed. He was put in the hospital. He almost died. Friends actually flew out to China. And then Carmen had her son brought back to California, from California to Arkansas. And Sean has been progressing, and he's interactive. He's doing better than he was, that is for sure. But we're trusting for a supernatural miracle in Sean's life. His birthday is on January 25th, 20 days from today. And we're just praying and believing that God will continue to bring healing and restoration. So pray for Sean Hoback. Amen.
Thank you for your prayers.
Yes, thank you for the prayers. God bless you, Sean. We love you, brother. And we are going to see. Too many people are saying the same thing. We will see you walking fully, running fully, riding your motorcycle again, and doing all those great things. So God bless you guys. We appreciate you calling in, and thank you for the birthday blessing. Yeah, you know, that's what it's about. I just had to get those little issues out of the way. And maybe you have some comments you'd like to make today about the times we're living in. And on this fifth day of January, maybe your thoughts for 2018, maybe you have some prophetic words that God has given you about the year 2018. We've got a call coming in here from area code 479-295 number. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Good morning, Pastor.
Well,
happy
hello,
birthday.
Marisa. Thank you.
Oh, I was listening to you on my way into work, and I wanted to call in and make a comment, you know, how we should be prepared for so many things in these days. We don't know what's coming around the bend. And just, of course, listen to the prophetic words. But yesterday there was a huge power outage in the area where I work at, and I work in assisted living. And we had literal. Some people literally panicked when the lights went out, you know, and we were going door to door, reassuring people, making sure they were okay. But I was going door to door, and this one woman was literally sobbing because the lights went out. And so, you know, I just thought of that. You know, people were saying, oh, there's no power at the hospital. You know, of course, they have generators, but it was quite an event, you know, because traffic lights didn't work and everything. So it was quite an incident. So,
yeah, it was.
It went off for about an hour and a half, I believe. Yeah.
An hour and a half. Yeah, the whole Walmart center was shut down as well. And so, you know, what an amazing point. You know, here for an hour and a half, the lights go out, and the elderly, you know, they're afraid. They're panicked by what's going on. But, you know, can you imagine, Marissa, right now with this cyclone bomb storm that is raging, where the freezing cold frigid temperatures in the Northeast and where the storm is going from Florida, snow in Florida, for goodness sake. Can you imagine the power going out now?
Yeah, I grew up in Iowa on a farm in Iowa. And one time we had a massive blizzard and we were trapped in our home for 3 days. And we were able to all hunker down in the kitchen and we had a wood burning stove. And so we were able to survive for 3 days in the midst of it. But people just don't have the survival skills, it seems, anymore, because you've become so dependent on all the electricity is there and this is there and that, you know, it's always going to work. And so, you know, it is a very much a concern with today's society.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And it's a noteworthy concern because, you know, power outages going out, lines being broken, people suffering in the cold weather. I mean, if the power went out for 30 days in America, Marissa, just 30 days, do you know the death toll would be off the charts? I mean, what would all the people do? I mean, you're with elderly people. Consider that.
Yeah, well, we were scrambling to make sure everyone had oxygen, you know, that they were fed, and the building we're in is a 3-story building. So we were checked, made sure nobody was trapped on the elevator. I mean, it was quite, you know, an event. Everyone was scrambling, you know, and that was just for an hour and a half. So, you know, it was really something. So,
well, thank you for sharing that. Yeah, well, may the light stay on today, right?
Definitely. Well, you have a wonderful birthday. I got to head into work, so have a good day.
Thanks for the call, Marissa. God bless you. All right. So Marissa's she's one of the gals you'd want to have around when things go south, because she doesn't panic, and she is the head of one of the nursing homes, one of the facility homes here in Northwest Arkansas, and she's been top ranked. I mean, they put her at the very top of things, and that did happen last night. The power outage went out. It affected a lot of different places. And again, it's all about preparation for the day that these things happen. And, you know, I'm thinking today, and I really do appreciate the birthday blessings that are coming my way. But there's another report of a pastor over in, I believe he's in Iran. I want to get the information, but it's his birthday today. But he's in prison. He's in prison. And I just want to pray for that pastor who happens to be in prison in the enemy's camp and ask the Lord to bless him richly and mightily for being willing to go to jail for his faith in Jesus Christ in a predominantly Islamic world that he lives in. And so everything is just needs to be brought to a place. And here's what I believe is the right thing to do for every one of us. And I really want to share this. This is in my heart today for every person. Okay. This is kind of going to go individual now. This is going to go a direct connect to our hearts rather than just, you know, throwing out the corporate word of God here, which is always good. But I want to go to Matthew chapter 5, and I want to reveal to you a man that God is fully impressed with, a man that looking for in the earth. And this man begins to be revealed in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 3. Now, I have read this for 30 some odd years, and have always looked at it as a corporate thing and as many people and tried to wrap my head around the definitions. But I want you to really hear this man. Because Jesus is describing the kind of man that he is, describing the man and woman of God. When Jesus wrote these words and spoke these words, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." So let me read it in another way now. "I know a man who is poor in spirit, who mourns over the things that he sees that are not good. This man is a meek, humble man who hungers and thirsts after the righteousness of God. He's a merciful man with a pure heart. He's definitely a peacemaker. He's been persecuted for doing what's right. And he's a man that has been reviled, persecuted, spoken against evil, falsely. But this man, poor in spirit, man that weeps over the condition of those less fortunate than he, who's filled with humility and hungers for the right things of God, this merciful man who has a pure heart and is a peacemaker, this man shall inhabit the kingdom of heaven, comforted, and will actually inherit the earth, and he will be filled with the righteousness of God. He has obtained mercy, and he sees God. He is a child of God, and again, he inhabits the kingdom of heaven. He rejoices, he's exceedingly glad, for he has great rewards in heaven. Yes, the poor in spirit shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those who mourn and suffer with those who suffer, they will be comforted. This meek, humble man shall inherit the earth. This hungry man, this thirsty man for righteousness, he will be filled. This merciful man shall obtain mercy. This man who has a pure heart shall see God. This man, peacemaker, he'll be called the child of God. And even though he's persecuted for doing what is right, again, he'll rule in the kingdom of heaven. And he will rejoice and be glad when he is spoken of falsely, he's persecuted and reviled. For so many years, I read that passage of scripture, but I've never seen it in the clarity of this is the condition of a man. It's not just one person has a poor in spirit, or one person is meek and another person is pure. And No, this is the embodiment of the man or the woman. This is the inward character, the inward attitude that carries great reward in heaven. Notice that everything is in heaven. Great rewards in heaven. And on earth, what do we see? Too often in ourselves and in the world in which we live, we see ambition, pride, self-aggressive, motivated for the things of the world, materialistic, arrogant, envious, jealous, proud. I mean, these are the attributes of a fallen human being. And God, through Jesus Christ, is declaring what he's looking for, the kind of material he's going to take with him into heaven. So this man, who is poor in spirit, who mourns for others at injustice, who is meek, mild, and gentle, and humble, who hungers and thirsts for the righteousness of God, this merciful man, who is pure in heart, who is a peacemaker, who even in spite of persecution is an heir of the kingdom of heaven and rejoices and is glad over the sufferings that are not due, kind of person that God is looking for. These people live on this earth. You are one of these people. This is who you are. God has written the DNA of your born-again spirit. Jesus said, blessed is this man, this woman. It is a condition of the heart and a condition of the mind to condescend to men of low estate, to be humble, to be merciful, to be a peacemaker, to be pure in heart, to hunger for the things of God, to mourn when people suffer. Truly, any other man will not know the blessing of this man. The church is to be this man. Is the standard. This is who Jesus was. He was poor in spirit. He wept over others' misfortune. He was meek and lowly. You know he hungered and thirsted for the righteousness of his Father to be fulfilled in the earth. Obviously, he was merciful. The woman that was caught in adultery. He obviously had a pure heart, and he did see God on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peacemaker. But that did not mean that he compromised. We know that he was persecuted for doing what is right. So we know he's the heir of the kingdom. He's the head of everything. He was this man in the earth. He rejoiced when he was spoken of evil. He looked beyond the cross to the joy that was set before him. He emptied himself out on this earth of this world's goods, of the ambition of this world. And when you really stop and think about all the evil that's in the world today, is not the love of money the root of all evil? And wars and bloodshed and hate and crime and violence and terror. What is all this? Where does this all come from? It comes from a fallen man who's under the influence of the dark, evil spirit of the age, pushing one's agenda forward. The radical Muslim wants to push forward Allah's will, even at the force of death. Even organized Christianity forces its will. But this man didn't force anything. This man humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. Was he passionate? Yes. Did he cry out from the rooftops? Yes. Did he reprove and rebuke the religious leaders of his day, the blind guides, the Pharisees, scribes, and hypocrites? Yes. Was he strong and powerful and mighty? Yes. But in his heart, in his inward nature, his character, Jesus was all of these things. And he says to you and to I, this is who you are to become. Maybe we don't start out this way, but if we're born again, I guarantee you this nature is already in us. It just needs to grow up. It needs to grow out and become the reality. I don't think there's a man in the world that was ever born with this particular nature. All together. All of it. But if we're born again, this nature is in us. Man that we've talked about have to be morbid, sad, unhappy. I mean, is that the picture, that there's no joy? No. In fact, they're full of joy and gladness and rejoicing. They're looking for something way beyond this world. They're living for something beyond this here and now. They're content with today. They thank God for today. They embrace all that God has for them today. They rejoice in the gift of life today. They want to be useful to the Lord today. They want to be on assignment from the Lord today. They are called by God. They are sent by God, and God is with them today. And they are happy because they're blessed. They're fortunate because they have their perspective in the right place. Is that you? Are you on that track? Yes, you are. Yes, it is you. And yes, you are on that track. And that DNA is on the inside of you. I'm sitting here today kind of hanging out, and the number to call is 818-369-0326. Just kind of having a little discussion here today and would love to hear from you. Number to call again, 818-369-0326. What do you think about this man? What do you think about this Matthew chapter 5 man or woman, this person literally proclaimed to be the blessed people on the planet? 818-369-0326. Press 1 on the dial pad. I'd love to hear from you today. We've got about 12 or 13 minutes left in the program. Hey, I absolutely rejoice in the Lord, and so do you. And we praise God, but we just have to keep everything in balance. Everything in balance. 22 missionaries are at death's door today in Afghanistan. We're praying for their release, a supernatural intervention of angelic beings, that God would move sovereignly to set them free. A pastor who's celebrating his birthday in a prison. And how many people have just died in the storms? 20 people dead in these storms here in America? And, you know, what's going on in people's lives? It's not all a bed of roses. There are people we heard about today that we're praying for that have cancer and a brain aneurysm. There are people we know that are suffering with different afflictions, and we want to pray to God to intervene and break every single one of those afflictions and deliver and set God's people free. That's what we want, and we want God's people to rise up in a supernatural unction of divine power to be able to function in this hour and go on assignment and do what God has called them to do. And only through our faith in Jesus Christ can we see this kind of miraculous working power. If you eliminate or remove the supernatural unction of Christ, the can do, then what do you have left? Not much. But let's talk to our friends over in South Dakota, where I think it's still pretty cold out there. Ken and Kathy, good morning. How are you today?
Yes. Good morning, Vincent. Speaking of cold, yes, we are driving right now up to our daughters, who lives near Fargo, North Dakota. And it's going to be colder there, but here it is 7 below 0 right now. And I understand that when we get up there tonight, it will probably drop to probably 25 below. So we're dressed for it, and it's a family gathering we're having. And so we got people, our sons are coming, and oh, they're going to snowmobile, and oh, but they won't be able to stay out there very long, and they like to ski too, so... This is a winter wonderland up here, Ooh. Let me tell you.
I love it. Now, when you guys are traveling down the road in that kind of weather, Do you have like a 3-day pack? Do you have skis or ice skates or something? If you had to get from point A to point B, do you have that kind of stuff with you?
Oh, yeah. Well, we have a survival kit in our car all the time.
Nice.
Ken made one for each one of our grandkids and our children. And that, and Ken was just saying, he says, man, if we would have lived in the days of the past, he said, we wouldn't be traveling like this because you'd have a horse and a buggy. And then I says, you'd have the wolves after you, too, because that's the way it used to be on the prairie. And he says, well, it's coyotes now. And we do see coyotes running.
Yeah.
And all, oh, yeah, and Vincent, you'll like this. And he said, Ken says, yeah, and all the wolves are in Washington.
That's true. The wolves are in Washington.
Well, so anyway, happy birthday. Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Kathy and Ken. We love you guys so much. We appreciate you driving in South Dakota, going towards Fargo, Minnesota, right?
North Dakota. No, Fargo, North Dakota.
Fargo, North Dakota. And I've been up there, the Flatlands. Man, oh, man. And so while you're driving, is it just like white everywhere?
White. Well, there is. Yes, yes, pretty much so. A lot of snow here. But that cold is so bitter, you can't really be out there very long because, you know what, your lungs, it'll freeze your lungs too. So you've got to use wisdom, let me tell you. We have been in these elements. Now, we grew up in these type of elements for years, and it does make you tough, I tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm amazed that the car could actually handle that weather, you know, 7 below. So you got to have the vehicles built for that.
Antifreeze in them.
There's a product
called antifreeze. You got to put that in there, or you will freeze up right on the road. You're right.
So, Kathy, how strange is it that right now down in Florida they're having ice and snow?
I don't know how those people are going to cope because they're not used to that. This is really a test. I'll tell you what, we are in testing times.
Well, amen to that. And they just come off the heels of those massive hurricanes and all the evacuations and the upheavals, and now they're getting this kind of weird weather out there. So I'm sure it'll pass, but again, just so many different signs, warnings, red alerts, red flags, wake up, wake up, wake up, something's not normal. And we just have this incredible tendency to just go back to sleep again, you know, just go back to the way things were, and we forget. And at some point, we know that it's all going to be released. Hey, I've got a friend joining us here that maybe want to say hello to you, Kathy and Ken, Pastor Ken Wagger. Good morning, Pastor Ken. How are you today?
Well, Pastor, I'm blessed listening to what you're saying. And
you say
it's so
important.
Mary and Kathy, bless you too. Good hearing from you again.
Yes, thank you. Thank you. Same to you.
Amen. Amen. You know, Pastor, the one thought that I had on here is listening to all the events and things you were talking about. Yes, it's important for us to know what's going on. And for the express reason that what we really need to do is when we see these things is to go back to the Lord and ask the Lord, what do I need to do? How do I need to pray? What do I need to say? How can I comfort or help? You know, these are the important things because if we do it the Lord's way, then we get blessed as well on here. So, you know, that's, I think, is one of the most important things to go ahead and do. Now, I also was reading in the Matthew 5 on here and reading it in the Amplified. I won't get into it all because it takes too long to read. But boy, does it break it down beautifully, what you read in the Amplified Bible. And I would suggest anybody that has an Amplified to read that Matthew 5 in the Amplified.
Well, just read a little bit of it. Yeah, read a little bit of it.
All right. I'll go over here to verse 3. Blessed, happy to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the poor in spirit, the humble, who rate themselves insignificant, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And it goes on and on that way. I can read more if you want.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. We've got a couple more.
Okay. blessed and enviably happy with the happiness produced by the experience of God's favor and especially conditioned by the revelation of his matchless grace are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, I'll give you one more on here, the next one. Blessed, happy, lifesome, joyous, spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the meek, the mild, patient, long-suffering, for they shall inherit the earth. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that, Pastor. You know,
no,
all
that
the way
is
through on it. And
it's
a beautiful thing. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I was just happening to skim through the Bible this morning a little bit, and came upon this verse on here in Jeremiah 17:10, again in the Amplified. I, the Lord, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give to every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. Now, and that's the Lord's purpose on here. We better be listening to what he says, and we better be seeking him to find out what we're supposed to go ahead and do. Because that's the essence of our being, is to serve the Father and do what he's asked us to go ahead and do. So we need to be literally on our hands and knees praying and seeking his face, no matter what happens, no matter where we are, no matter what transpires, and seek his will.
Amen. There's nothing like being in the presence of God. It just surpasses everything in this world, being in his presence. And as you and I strive to, you know, put on this Matthew chapter 5 man, we're going to find ourselves much better off for it. Kathy and Ken, you guys have a safe journey up to Fargo. Send our love to everybody. Ken, keep your eyes on the road. And isn't it wonderful that you're with us still today to celebrate these amazing moments? Ken Bruns just overcame a massive heart attack and is yet with us because of the supernatural miracle that was in the timing that he had this issue in the hospital rather than at home 100 miles away. Praise the living God.
And I agree 100%, and I thank God, because being in the right place at the right time is very important nowadays.
Yes, sir, Ken. It is so good to hear your voice. You have no idea what a testimony is locked up in your heart. May God bless you. Kathy, God bless you. Pastor Ken, God bless you. Up next is Patricia Joy. I've run out of time. She's breathing down. She's got a message today that's going to rock your world and bring you to a higher mountain you've ever been before. So we're going to go to a quick little break. We're going to say goodbye for now. God bless everybody. And up next, Happy Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. Thank you, Pastor Ken, with Patricia Joy. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
If you like what you hear, then you'll be happy to know there's much more from where that came from. Go to OmegaRadio.org and click the More tab to view our full broadcast lineup. Omega Radio is on the air around the world 24/7 with programs featuring Jay Sekulow and the ACLJ, Rick Wiles with True News, and Common Sense with Dave Hodges. Check out the complete lineup for showtimes. Then join us at 9 a.m. Central and again at 2, 7 at midnight. For the Watchman. Everyday Pastor Vincent Xavier unleashes the sword of the Spirit, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, to better equip you, the saints. It's important during these last days to know what the Bible has to say, so you're in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. Listening to the Watchman is a great place to start. Go to OmegaRadio.org and tune in 9 a.m. Central and again at 2, 7 and midnight. The Watchman on the Wall is looking out for you. Thank you for listening to The Watchman. We depend on you to help spread the word and support our radio ministry. If this program ministers to you, then pray about partnering with us. Just go to OmegaRadio.org and click the Donate tab. Your gift will help us expand this program and build our radio studio. Whether it's a one-time gift or a monthly pledge, every dollar will be used to better equip you, the saints. We thank you in advance, and may God richly bless you.
Welcome. What an incredible program. One more time of edification for the body of Christ. It is what we need at this time. We need that unity, body of Christ. We need it like nothing else. It is the most important thing. However, the unity must be in truth and not in confusion and different doctrinal bases. But there is someone who had written in, Peggy, and said, "Blessed are you, Pastor Vincent, because abundantly you will be given because of the righteousness of your heart." I'm paraphrasing because it went off the phone, but I am the same in understanding what God wants for Pastor Vincent. He wants an abundant life for him, and blessed is he for his righteousness. And I am Pastor Patricia Xavier, co-pastor with Pastor Vincent Xavier, which is a delightful experience to have the two of us ministering together. There is nothing more exciting for a couple to do. And once, you know, the children are raised and you have the opportunity, this is the only answer: the ministry of love and life together. And it is amazing what God would do. He said the two are one. The two have become one, and that is the word of the Lord, and definitely this is the operation of His Holy Spirit marriage. So I am married to a wonderful man. I am grateful to God for it. I couldn't be happier. Was it always that way? No, we had our challenges, but because God is in it, He works it out for His glory each and every time. Why? We all have to die to self. And in marriage, there's always one or the other that's wanting to maintain self. But you know, as time goes on and the Lord is in that relationship, the self will die in both. And then when they come together as one, they are one new man in the earth. Glorious. Because she came out from him, she comes back into him, and it becomes one new man in the earth. And I, for one, are blessed to have a husband as I do, Pastor, and very much caring for his flock, Vincent Xavier. Okay, today we will be discussing and reading from my book, Deliverance, The Christian Bill of Rights. And we are still in chapter 2, and we're going to remain in there until God delivers us into the next chapter, because we want to be in His perfect will. I want to be in His perfect will, doing what He's called me to do, and that is to bring understanding towards spiritual warfare and deliverance. How important is that? That is extremely important to the body of Christ and for unification in the body of Christ, to understand deliverance, to understand spiritual warfare. And yesterday we discussed God's church and why we have the most part remained in total ignorance in God's church. We don't want ignorance anymore. We want to be aware, enlightened to the truth. And that's the reason I wrote the book. As God's church, we have, for the most part, remained in total ignorance, honestly. And God is now revealing greater truth to us. And it seems as if no one really wants to talk about the vital knowledge that we have been granted and been given, because they're not quite sure, because of doctrinal differences, how all of it works. Many of us have casually acknowledged that one third of all angels created by God fell with Satan, but it's always been a casual acknowledgement. But we want to get into this in a more understanding way, where we begin to perceive and understand the works of angels. And many of us believe that they avowed purpose is to deceive and destroy the body of Christ on earth. And I believe that too, that Satan fell for that very reason. And many of us have believed their avowed purpose to do this. And it is true. And many of us know that the Father has ordained with His power 2/3 of all the angels he created to protect us 24 hours a day. So we have both understanding. However, we need to begin to visualize that spiritual realm. And can we understand its workings? By that, I mean, can you see these billions, possibly trillions of spiritual beings, the angels of God working for you? We discussed that yesterday. And I want that to become something that we think about, meditate upon, pray about. We know that these obedient beings move and act according to the word of God. So we need to begin to express his word more often as we speak, as we have understanding toward everyday conversation. It should be in our mouth. His word should express our heart on a daily basis over any situation that we have come into. And so that is the understanding I have, where Paul the Apostle says, I pray ceasingly. In other words, he's praying every day, unceasingly, I meant, sorry. He's praying every day, unceasingly, speaking the word of God, moving in the word of God. This is what Paul the Apostle meant when he said, I pray unceasingly. And every moment that he is aware to speak the word of God, he did so. And the word became flesh and dwelled among us. Where? Within our hearts, our spirit. Therefore, we talked about how they work, these angels of God work for us. They're working on our behalf. We speak the word, and then they work on our behalf according to the word in which we have within our tongue, our mouth, as we present it on a daily basis. And our job is to proclaim the promises of God that we have received through his word. And when we get in habit of doing so, the miraculous becomes a true witness to the Christian and to the world. So we need to know that the word is proclaimed by the angels and by us working together to see the miraculous come forth. And it behooves us to watch what we say. As Christians, we must speak only God's promises rather than doubt, fear, and Satan's deceptions. And we spoke about that yesterday also. Let his word become our word on a daily basis. Now, this is going to take extensive training of our soul realm. But body of Christ, this is necessary for the times we're in. We must begin to apply ourselves in putting God's word into action. Our victory march unto life will truly begin then. And we have to begin to know that a problem at home or at work or within our relationships that persist, that are plaguing us, is assigned by the work of the enemy to come against our lives in particular situations. But we have the word of life. We have the word of truth, which disperses the darkness coming against us. Do you understand what kind of warfare we are fighting? Remember, the devil's spirits have been purposely assigned to hold you and I back from wholeness of life. We're not going to let it happen, are we? We're going to speak the word of God in every situation that plagues us at any time, any moment, or where we just need direction on a daily basis for moment-to-moment living, because we only have one day at a time. We don't have yesterday anymore, and we don't know if we have tomorrow, but we do know we have today. That's why every day becomes extremely important to be guided by the Holy Spirit in our lives and to be in his perfect will, especially in the times we are in. It's extremely important to live this kind of life as a Christian if we want to be the overcomers he called us to be. And as was mentioned earlier, we have been warned that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have mentioned this time and time again on radio, bringing you that understanding and realization that Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. When you wonder, what is happening to me? What did happen today? Why did it go in the way it went just a few minutes ago? Remember who you're warring against. Remember Satan and his work. He is to come against you and to steal, kill, and destroy whatever he can. And he will steal whatever you allow him through your sinfulness. That's why we have to walk in a sinless state. And you may say that's impossible. And I say to you, no, it is not. For every time you find yourself in sin of any kind, confess that sin immediately and you're forgiven. And then you're in the beautiful spirit of being sinless. And it's perfect, and it's right. So keep your mind on that. When you find yourself in a sinful situation, perhaps thinking against someone in with an angry spirit, immediately say, Lord, I will not go there. I forgive that person. Because whose sins you forgive, they're forgiven. Whose sins you retain, they're retained. And it is in your power to do so. And you don't want to hold anyone in bondage, especially not yourself. So be quick to ask for forgiveness the moment you find yourself in a position of speaking evil or thinking evil against another. Believe me, if you permit Satan, he will steal your joy, your emotions, your finances, and your health. And he is out there to do so. He is doing it among many, or he will deceive people with wealth. He will give him much. He will, not Christ, but he will give him much to be able to bring greater and deeper darkness into this world right now. He will use money to con and to deceive multitudes of people who are hungry for money, being or believing that this is their purpose, this is their power, when all along love is the only power and purpose of truth. He will try to destroy your physical body through sickness and disease or any misfortune. But God has given us power over sickness and disease. He died and he destroyed the works of the enemy, which brings sickness and disease into our existence because of generational bloodline curses and because of familiar spirits from family bloodline. They do come. To generation, up to the third and fourth generation, as spoke of in the book of Exodus, and of the truth of the matter, when spoken of in scripture, did this man's family sin? Did his mother and father sin? And is that the reason for his blindness? And Jesus said no to that one, because he was going to show them a miracle. He was going to bring them into a place where that man's sight will be given unto him. And he was telling them, it was for my benefit that this man be blind. And I'll tell you, body of Christ, the Lord showed me this so clearly so that I may prove a miracle to the people that are following me at this time. Jesus Christ went about to do miracles and to set the captives free. The devil will destroy your physical body through sickness and disease, as I said, and the unholy being is angry with you. He doesn't like what you carry within your being, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the living Christ, the Spirit of the Heavenly Father. They all abode within. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Father's Spirit is guiding and directing you. Jesus Christ has brought salvation, and his Spirit is growing within you. The Christ Spirit, the magnificent Christ Spirit of holiness and righteousness, power and might. The enemy will deceive you into accepting death to come upon you. It is spoken of in Revelation 12. Read that chapter. And how do we accept death to come upon us? through fear, through anxiety, through stress, especially if we see that we have been inundated with the same sickness perhaps our mother or father have had. If your mother's heart was attacked, you may think that your heart will be attacked also, especially if you feel stressed out and certain poundings within your being from your heart. You must immediately not accept that through fear that death will come upon you also. You must immediately rebuke it, because Christ has overcome that on the cross for you, and he has broken that generational bloodline curse upon you if you understand and believe and know the will of God and the works of God according to his word and scriptures. You have to know and remember that death is an enemy of man. I know that there is a scripture where he says, blessed are those that die in the Lord. Yes, they will be blessed, but they weren't meant to die. They will be blessed because they died in Christ, because they have known him. But in the beginning, we were not meant to die. Body of Christ, understand that in the beginning, in Eden, they were to live forever until they accepted the lies of Satan and were thrown out of the everlasting beautiful garden into the earth, into darkness, into hardship. They were meant to live forever until they received and took the apple and bit off that apple. It's funny that that insignia is on Apple computers exactly as it is, bitten into, which means that that has become the God of our life, if we allow it to be. Technology, computers with ability to remember and have memory. Think about it. When Adam and Eve were put in the garden, they did not know death. But what happened? Satan deceived them into sin. Death was the outcome of their sin. The wages of sin is death. That's scriptural. Understand its meaning. But when Satan deceived them into sin, death was the outcome. And for as in Adam all die now, so also in Christ all shall be made alive. Alive. Life. Abundant. Enemy of man was not meant to be. But we get used to it in the world, don't we? But it was never meant in the heart of God that man should die and taste corruption. Do not make a mistake. Don't mistake death as a release from the torment and anguish of this life and world. When you become so distraught because of the working of devils in your life and cannot take any more, that, my friends, is death. Process and the fulfilling of Satan's desire for man. Christ came to give life, and life more abundantly, not death. Death has never been his desire, his will. He has come to overcome the works of the enemy. And who works death, the death process? Satan does. It has been given to him through us, by denying God in the garden, that time when Mr. and Mrs. Adam was tried. And through that fall, death came upon all mankind. And that was the working of the enemy. Till this day, he is the spirit of death itself. You know what Satan wants to do? He wants to trespass illegally on your blood purchased territory. Let's get back to that, as was spoken of in the first chapter of the book, Deliverance, the Christian Bill of Rights. If he could do it, he will. And he does not care about legalities or God's law. He will do whatever Christians give him the right to do. Do you understand what I am trying to tell you? This is the point being stressed in this book. Satan is a serious offender of our rights. And so you can see it working even in government today against the rights we have been given in the Constitution. Satan is seriously the offender of the rights we have been granted. It is his sole business to destroy. He comes again to kill, steal, and destroy. Remember that you are fighting a deadly enemy in a deadly war. Do not fight with your flesh, but with the spiritual weapons that have been given to you by God. I am so aware of this difference in opinion as to whether or not we should pack guns, be packing in case someone comes against us with one, or should we begin to use spiritual weapons that we have been given to you and myself by God? Should we do that instead? Should we learn this spiritual warfare? Because this spiritual warfare is behind the physical spiritual warfare, causing it to happen to the degree in darkness in which it is happening. But if we learn how to use the weapons we have been given through spiritual warfare, the power is greater than any other you could imagine. Why? Because the spiritual weapons are backed by warring angels. Twice as large, 10 times as large as we are. Great and mighty angels doing warfare on our behalf. If we would begin to understand that in the name of Jesus Christ, the enemy is stopped cold. I've seen a picture of this on video just recently. Bandits came into a gun store to try to steal. And the proprietor there was a female, believe it or not, a female. And they came in with their guns and they pointed it at her. And she stood strong and she said, "No, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, you will not point those guns to me. Put them down." And they came closer to her, and she said, "I command in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth for those guns to loose you and the power you're trying to give them and to flee from this store now." And on video, I saw them look at each other. I saw them begin to shake, and they left that store. In fact, they ran out of that store. Is that not better than killing another? Is it possible that we can walk in such power and might? I say to you, in this day and age, God is granting that power unto us as no other time in the history of the world. We are receiving the latter and former rain together. Together to empower us to do warfare. And we have warring angels backing us in this. I want you to see the realization of such an incredible work from God. And it's coming to those who will believe in a greater, greater manifestation than ever before. Oh, can you imagine how those two felt when they left, wondering what in the world happened? And there are many accounts of that. If you would just go online and ask for accounts of warring angels in action, you will see videos and you will hear of stories where the angels overcame the evil ones. Why? It was the evil ones behind the scene in the individuals that were causing this kind of warfare and destruction, causing them to do these kinds of crimes, which we see very often in these days because of the amount of darkness growing. And why? Because souls are giving themselves over to it. They're not standing in Christ anymore as they once did. And those who never did are joining in. And it's happening to our youth. It's happening to our students at the universities and colleges. And it's happening to those who have been lukewarm in Christianity. This is the time we're going to be judged like no other time. And it will start in the house of God according to the word of God. Well, please understand, it is not each other that we are fighting. I'm trying to explain that. We have no excuse for becoming angry with each other, because no one person is better than another. We all have our faults. We all have our problems. We have all been deceived. Now, girded with this truth, we must direct our warfare against the evil spirits that are activating the strife between us. They bring in what I call scrambling spirits, confusing issues. We must always reflect and search our hearts. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, we must forgive one another. It's essential for this warfare, especially those who believe have offended us the most. We believe they have. We have thought, you know, they should never have done that to us. They had no right to do that to us as Christians. They, especially those we believe have offended us the most, we must forgive. Unforgiveness is the work of Satan and his agents to keep us apart. He loves when we will not forgive one another. That's why the scriptures tell us we cannot even have communion as a community together, as Christians together, if we have unforgiveness in our heart, because Satan will use that, and many have tasted death because of it, because they took communion unworthily, and yet it is not much taught in the church, not much. And we take communion with ease without examining our hearts to see whether or not we have truly forgiven those that we have been offended by. We have to understand the workings of the Holy One. We have to be aware of the Holy Spirit move in our lives and among others. We have to understand that unforgiveness is a direct hindrance to our walk, and Satan will utilize it to the best he can, and we will wonder, why is our life not going right? Examine your heart, body of Christ. Unforgiveness is not instituted by man, but by Satan for man's destruction. It is his doing. The only way to unlock the prison door of our hearts is through forgiveness. Again, it's essential. Forgiveness is a choice, regardless of what our feelings may be telling us. We must make a willful choice to forgive. We must forgive others who have sinned against us. Our God will not against him if we don't. He will not forgive our sins against him if we don't forgive others. It's a scripturally sound basis of being forgiven. We must forgive others their sin against us if we are to expect him to forgive us. And I want you to consider this carefully. So many have not, and it's time we do. It's time we make this a very, very strong understanding within our vision each day. Am I keeping that one in forgiveness that has hurt me, that has So, body of Christ, we have some forgiving to do. And I would ask you, please, if you have any desire to order my book, I would ask you to go to Amazon and get that book for yourself or another. Read it. I believe it'll help you with all my heart. And if you have any questions regarding what you have heard, email me at patriciajoyxavier@gmail.org. God bless you.